on Earth is performed by the cosmic mind using mental energy, negative energy. On the other hand, virgin birth uses soul energy, positive energy, and is performed within the infinite consciousness. In reverse, all human death is performed by the cosmic mind and is the termination of mental energy. Whereas soul energy makes transition instead of death. When the Master within observes that the fowls of the air have no barns to store grain, he is revealing mystically that you do not have to store in barns either, that you are surrounded by invisible divine manna. He is alerting you to the omnipresence of soul energy, the secret of resurrection, while still in the flesh. Again, when the Master declares, "My kingdom is not of this world," we're all being informed that another kingdom is here, made of this miraculous soul energy, which transmutes our human experience into the divine by dissolving material illusions of this world. The living substance of the kingdom of God manifesting on earth is soul energy. And the substance of the world we live in is dying mental energy. This entire illusion of human life is made of dying mental energy. All human flesh is made of dying mental energy. The physical earth, all its condition and all it contains, made of the same dying energy. So that's why material things deteriorate. That's why we have disease and destruction. That's why fire and flood can destroy. The substance of this world is not the atom or the subatom. It's cosmic mental energy. Cosmic thought converts its own concept of the real kingdom into this negative energy. And it's this negative energy that appears in imaged form as the substance, the inhabitants, the activities of the world in which we live. The world is literally in our mind. Each of us lives in our own mental universe of negative energy, controlled by the creator of it, which Christ described as the father of lies. And it's that false father from which all humanhood springs that is identified in the Bible as Satan, which of course means the cosmic mind. It's this cosmic mind spinning its web of mental energy that creates the mist, the false substance of our world. And in this dying mental energy, we're all actors. And we're playing roles that are written for us not by God, but by this cosmic mind. And so generation follows generation into its grave. The entire parade of good and evil illusions continues as unknowingly we enact the cosmic will. Oh, we cling to these papier-mâché lifespans, and we're so proud of our achievements in the physical illusion. We're living in the darkness of human vanity, in an ego that God never created, until finally the grim illusion fades into the nothingness that it really is. But the light shines in the darkness,
There is a river.
The kingdom of God, of eternal life, is within you. Seek ye first the kingdom of soul energy, and all things will be added unto you. Break the sleep of mental energy. The self you are ignoring is your own true self. Awake. Release the imprisoned splendor of your own true being. Return to your own real substance. Reject this counterfeit. Step out of the darkness of mental energy, into the light of soul energy. How? How can we find this life-giving soul energy, this nectar of the gods, this magical transforming substance that flows freely through the spiritual universe? You have the remainder of this lifespan to answer that question. Not even a million words can answer that question successfully. The answer does not lie in words, nor in science, nor in religion. The only answer that will be successful is to lift your consciousness from where it is to that consciousness which knows it is the omnipresent self and lives in that omnipresent self without interruption. You have been prepared to do just that. Every word spoken by Christ through the prophets, through Jesus, through the disciples and apostles, and through the modern apostles is a tool to open your eyes to your omnipresent identity. But it is you, living, moving, having your being in and as the one omnipresent self that determines which side of the veil you experience and express. It would be beneficial, perhaps, for us to backtrack a moment. I'd like to replay the identification of the Lamb of God by John the Baptist, using, as it were, two different cameras. One camera will represent what you and I see with normal human vision. And the other camera will represent what John the Baptist sees with soul vision. And let's see if we can discover why the world has so easily been fooled by what it reads in the Bible. Now, this will be a bit difficult, but really, there's no one but you and me who are prepared to do this. Seriously, it's going to be done by you and me, or it's not going to be done right now anywhere. So let's get on with it. For this particular teaching, we have to begin with the you that is not in a physical form. So at this moment, please, when you close your eyes, detach from the concept of form. Know yourself as omnipresent light. Omnipresent self. Until you really feel free of form. When you are free of form, you may witness a very remarkable phenomenon. It begins somewhere in the cosmos, the world mind, like a cosmic computer. It pours forth cycles of cosmic energy, which appear as the lifespans of objects in nature and its inhabitants. And then, somewhere, at some time, one of these forms made of mental energy bears your human name. You know it isn't you, because you are not in that form. You are the omnipresent light. But so amazingly deceptive is the power of cosmic energy to imitate real energy that all human forms of mental energy think of themselves as being alive, born, growing, living, and eventually dying. Now, if you could stay where you are, detached, free, instead of stepping into that body of mental energy, you would see what John the Baptist saw. You would not see a physical Jesus or a physical world or even physical people. Everywhere you would see only the Lamb of God. And you would see spirit descending from heaven like a dove. You would behold the real universe and the radiant soul energy which is vibrating now, and all the perfect divine images of soul energy around us. But now, leave this incorporeal spiritual universe and step back into the thought form that you have identified as your human body. We are back again in this world. And once more, we are automatically under cosmic hypnosis, because the minute we stepped into this human thought form called body, we stepped into a cosmic system of mechanical negative energy. We became a captive in this control system. The cosmic mind sends ideas in the forms of mental energy, and our own human mind automatically converts this mental energy into mental images, which we call persons, places, things, actions, events. And always our human brain imagines that these mental images are physical and that they're outside. All right. Now, this was just our preparation. We're now ready to turn both our cameras on a very important biblical event to see why the world has ignored the great truth that was revealed on that memorable occasion. And so I ask you now to imagine that Jesus Christ has just walked into your room, right there where you are. Jesus Christ just walked in. There he is, you see him. But let's remember, you are in an advanced state of awareness. You're not just another human being. You can no longer have the privilege of saying, the physical Jesus just walked into my room in the flesh. You at least have to realize that everyone else in the room, including husband, wife, child, friends, they're all images in your mind. You know that. They're all made of mental energy. That's a fact. We've established that in the past weeks. And so that must be true. If the omnipresence of spirit is true, there's no matter present. And because the mental pictures that cosmic mind presses into your mind about your loved ones do not fool you into denying their spiritual identity, you must now do the same. And so when Jesus Christ walks into your room now, you say, there can be no physical Jesus. There never was a physical Jesus. Jesus did not just walk into my room. Jesus just walked into my consciousness. And so I must be witnessing an image of Jesus Christ within myself. This would be the truth if Jesus actually appeared in your room. You would be witnessing an image of Jesus Christ within yourself. Is that fair? All right. And so let's establish this basic fact. Whether you are seeing President Ford or Jesus Christ, you are seeing an image within you. And if that is established as fact, you are ready now for the great revelation that is to follow. Now let's imagine that before Jesus Christ entered your room, sitting next to you was John the Baptist. And you and John the Baptist were both looking directly at Jesus as Jesus walked into your room. Now the question is, would you both see the same Jesus Christ? Think about that a moment. The answer is no. You would see an image in your mind. But John the Baptist would see an image in his soul. You would see your own mental energy. He would see his own soul energy. And if you were living in biblical times, at the time when Jesus was crucified and buried, the image in your mind, made of mental energy, would seem to disappear externally when Jesus was buried, just as it disappeared externally for the disciples. But the image in the mind of John the Baptist would not have disappeared when Jesus was buried. He would still be seeing the soul image. You see, that's why we think our loved ones die. Mental energy forms the image of them in their minds and in our minds, but it's not God's substance. Then when cosmic mind stops supporting the mental image, it disappears. We call it death. But John the Baptist was demonstrating a different kind of an image and a different kind of a substance, which exists unknown to man. The Jesus Christ that he saw was not the same Jesus Christ that the disciples saw. The Christ he saw was not made of mental energy, was not mortal, was not subject to death, was not subject to burial. And when he announced, "Behold, the Lamb of God," we were thinking of the image of Jesus seen in human minds. Naturally, we thought he was looking at that same Jesus. But the Baptist didn't see the Jesus image in our minds or in the minds of the disciples. He was looking at the image of divine light in his own soul. He was seeing a radiant form within, made of deathless soul energy, pouring from the universal self. And this offspring of the universal self, which is ever one with the self, he named the Lamb of God. Light was witnessing itself. Now please, carefully understand this. Spirit was teaching us that there are two images where we see only one. That means that there are two images where you stand. One image of you we see, and one image of you we cannot see. If we could see beyond our mental concept of you, we would see your soul energy now, and we would discover an entirely different you. That's what John the Baptist was saying. Behold the Lamb of God. And you're doing the same with everyone that you see. You see, within your mind, you are looking at your mental image of a person. But if you could see within your soul, you would see a soul image of that person, which is entirely different. Both images are present, but you see only one. When you see the dying mental image of a person, you do not see the living soul image that is also present and eternal. But as your capacity is developed to release your own soul energy, it will become your witness, as it did for John the Baptist. It will perceive beyond the mist of the mind into the spiritual universe around you. It will rebirth you of the Spirit and make you what you already are, the Lamb of God. Soul energy will live itself as you, and mental duality will be removed. Like the rest of the world, the disciples only saw the world's concept of the crucifixion of Jesus, because they were unable to witness the Lamb of God, the inner light, the soul energy body. They couldn't see within themselves. They could only see mental energy. They saw a physical, external man on a cross, which was their own mental energy. And it's very doubtful that they thought of him as a mental image in their own minds. It wasn't until much later, after the descent of the Holy Ghost, when their eyes were opened to soul vision, that they could behold the body of soul energy, which constitutes the real Christ, the Lamb of God, which is always present, which never was buried, and which, of course, has been mistaken by the world as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know the Lamb of God was never crucified. The light of God always existed. It could not be crucified. How could it be resurrected? And therefore, long before crucifixion appears to the mind of man, the light itself declares, I am the resurrection. Of all the disciples, only John recognized the Lamb of God before the crucifixion. John himself beheld the child of the one universal light, just as the Baptist had done. And he told it very subtly in the 20th chapter of his gospel, first five verses, when he describes how Peter and himself ran to the grave where the body of Jesus had disappeared. Peter went in first. Do you know why John didn't go in first? The reason is so simple. He arrived first, but he didn't go in first. He knew what Peter didn't know. He knew that the true Christ body of soul energy has never been buried, that it is eternally alive. But he knew much more than that. John knew that he himself had an eternal body made of divine soul energy. And he knew it because he was living in it. He knew his own identity as the Lamb of God. And although very few people recognized it at the time or since, he was designated as the Lamb of God when Christ Jesus on the cross, looking at his mother, pointed to John and said, "Woman, behold thy son," even on the cross. The invisible Christ was beholding only the body of soul energy, where the world saw a physical John the disciple. And there you have one of the sublime blessings of the mission of Christ Jesus. Spirit beheld the immortal light of every man and woman on earth, revealed the presence of that immortal light with every healing, and demonstrated for those who have eyes that one omnipresent light, one omnipresent self is now standing where all of us see the material images of this world. Your sacred function is to be that one omnipresent self. Please underline that word 10 times in your mind, omnipresent. You cannot be a Christ apart. You must be the omnipresent Christ, for there is only one. This alone is the path of glory. Your fidelity to it automatically fulfills the 2 great commandments given to mankind. So for the balance of the year, our work together is going to be pointed in this vital direction. And you have 3 specific assignments. Your first assignment, every day, without fail, spend at least 15 minutes, more if you can, meditating on one subject. I am the omnipresent self. No formularized meditation. Keep it spontaneous and free-flowing. Let Spirit feed you its words and thoughts. You have a second assignment. Every day, without fail, spend another 15 minutes or more meditating on the following subject. I am in heaven now. Why? Because the omnipresent self is in heaven now. And if you're not in heaven, you're not the omnipresent self. They go hand in hand. You can see that. And you have a third assignment. And this is just as important as the other two, maybe more so. Throughout your working day, stop denying that you are the omnipresent self. Maybe you don't realize that you're denying it. Maybe you don't know how you're denying it. We'll discuss that in a few moments. Now, we don't want you to fall into a pattern or a groove, so it's suggested that you alternate your meditations. For instance, tomorrow morning, you might meditate on I am the omnipresent self. And later in the day, your meditation will be I am in heaven now. On the following day, reverse the sequence. In the morning, begin with I am in heaven now. Follow later in the day with I am the omnipresent self. These are your 2 daily meditations. And in addition, each day, you must learn how to stop denying that you are the omnipresent self. So let's begin right now with our first assignment. And let's keep it spontaneous, no pushing, Spirit will feed you whatever you are ready to receive. I am the omnipresent self. I would like you to stay with this for 15 minutes when you repeat it tomorrow and the next day, but there's no point of leaving 15 minutes of silence right on the tape. So when you hear this on your tape again, after the silence begins, just push the button of the tape so that the tape stops revolving and you continue in your meditation. Meanwhile, now we will go right into our next assignment. And I think in this second assignment, I'll do a little prodding, whereas in the first one, I let you stay with the Spirit itself. Here, Spirit will function through both of us. Do you understand what I meant? Just turn the tape off before the silence terminates and you continue in the meditation when you play the tape again. That will give you an opportunity to meditate for 15 minutes or more, and then if you wish to, you just turn the tape on and it continues and it will lead you right up to the point where we are. Our second assignment is to meditate on, I am in heaven now. You will have completed a meditation on I am the omnipresent self. So it will naturally follow that I, the omnipresent self, and heaven are one and the same. Now, when you have accepted omnipresent self as yourself, day after day, for a few days, your meditation on I am in heaven now will be quite normal for you. Now, with your eyes closed, hold it in consciousness. Perhaps you're hearing street noises, or an airplane, or the siren of a police car. Maybe even you're hearing your own breathing, or someone in your room is coughing. Don't be fooled by that. Perhaps you have a cramp in your leg, pain in your arm. Maybe you heard some bad news today about a friend, or you're concerned about someone in your family. Well, don't be fooled by that either. This is heaven now. It must be, because heaven is where God is. And the moment you forget that you are in heaven, here and now, in that moment you have forgotten that you are the omnipresent self. You have forgotten that God is here. And you have forgotten that where God is, heaven is. Now think about that a moment. Where God is, heaven is. How can you separate the two? Is God here? Then heaven must be here. Is this heaven? If not, then God is not here. Now, you see why man of earth lives without the power of God in his life? His five senses tell him he's living on earth and that God is in heaven. And this automatically denies the presence of God and separates him from the God he seeks. See it clearly now. This is heaven, and God is here. Or, this is not heaven, and God is not here. If you do not make the choice, automatically, every day you will wake up and believe that you are on earth. And that is an automatic separation from God. Even to make the choice is not enough. You have to make the choice every day. And you have to remind yourself that this is heaven many times a day. Until this powerful truth takes root in your consciousness. This is heaven. Anything less is a denial of the presence of God. Now, science thinks this is the planet Earth. And that's why science cannot find God. The church thinks this is the planet Earth. And that's why religion cannot find the power of God. Mankind believes this is a planet Earth, and that's why mankind suffers sickness, disease, disaster, discord, destruction, and death. This is the fatal mistake of science, religion, and all mankind. And it will continue to be your fatal mistake until you take time daily to make the correction in your consciousness. You see? Heaven is actually another word for spirit. If heaven is not here, spirit is not here, then you have lost your spiritual universe. Now then, that is another of your great secrets. You've been given an invisible heaven to live in. And instead, you have let mental images fool you for most of your lifetime into thinking that you were living on a physical earth. You have lived unconscious of the living presence of God, separated from divine grace only by the flow of your own false material thought. You have walked in the shadow instead of in the light. That is only half of the meditation. And it's the easiest half. Now here's the second half of your meditation. Because this is heaven. Whatever cannot happen in heaven is not happening. And must be a mirage of the human mind. All right, let's face it carefully. Do people die in heaven? Are there hospitals in heaven? Do people have heart attacks and indigestion in heaven? Are babies stillborn in heaven? Are women and children massacred by bombs in heaven? Which do you choose? Are you on holy ground, as Christ teaches, or on unholy ground, as your eyes tell you? Which do you choose? God or man? Heaven or earth? Invisible spirit or visible matter? Most persons have never been given an opportunity to make this choice. They just flow along mechanically with the tide, earthbound, glued to mortality, unaware of the invisible heaven that offers them life instead of death. Now, you could continue with this meditation And each time you do, vary it. Don't get into a formula and face the fact. First, establish this is heaven, and then, because this is heaven, get rid of that which cannot happen in heaven, because truth in consciousness releases soul energy. All right, we're coming to our third assignment. And this should become a way of life. The first two assignments were contemplative, and the third is truth in consciousness. Daily, to stop denying that you are the omnipresent self. And this is a very difficult assignment. It's also a rewarding assignment. In proportion to your success, soul energy will flow. Now let's review quickly. Christ means omnipresent self. Your omnipresent self is a light shining in the darkness. And this is the secret of all who have made transition. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that means transition is attained by relinquishing your finite, mortal, temporary, physical self and living now as the omnipresent self, called the Lamb of God or the Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Believeth on the Son means he who lives as the omnipresent self expressing itself. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that wrath is the cosmic mind, out picturing this dream life that eventually blows up like a balloon and disintegrates. The hour has come, and now is, when every true worshiper must live as the omnipresent self. For God is omnipresent spirit, and they that worship him must worship him as the omnipresent spirit of their own being. As man or as woman, you are darkness, division, duality. And even if you are good, you're only a good state of darkness, separated, temporary, finite. But the truth, which has been obscured by centuries of ignorance, is that you are not the darkness called human. You are truly the omnipresent light of God. And that means wherever God is, you are. Whatever God is, you are. And whatever else you thought you were, you are not. So face it. Unless you live consciously as the omnipresent self, you cannot know God aright, and soul energy cannot flow. So now let's turn to our third assignment and learn some of the cunning tricks that the tempter is using to make us be unfaithful to our omnipresent self. You can test your capacity to stand in truth just by answering some of the questions that follow. What in this world was created by God? Name one thing. If you can, find one single thing in this world made by God. You know more than God knows, and you have stopped the flow of soul energy. Only truth can make you free. Now, question two. Did God make a physical person? Your answer must be no. If God did not make a physical person, are you a physical person? Again, your answer must be no. If you are physical, you are calling God a liar. God says you are the omnipresent self, the Son, and no physical self can be omnipresent. Are you a human being? Again, you cannot be, because no human being is omnipresent. Do you have any physical problem? Well, if you have, you've been trapped into denying that you're the omnipresent self. Do you have a financial problem, a business problem, a domestic problem? If so, you're pushing your omnipresent self away, for it is the perfect divine self. Then what do you do about financial, business, and domestic problems? you recognize them as temptations. Temptations of the world mind to make you deny that you are the omnipresent self. And your answer is this: yes, these problems are coming to my attention. But no power on earth can make me deny that I am the omnipresent self, the one perfect light of God. And so I'm standing in my true identity in the face of these appearances, confident that these appearances are false and powerless. Every problem is a temporary mirage made of false mental substance, not created by God. There are no exceptions. And while I rest in the knowledge of my true being as the omnipresent self, and here's the great secret, invisible soul energy will remove the mirage. Maybe it will require one day, maybe a week, maybe a month, and maybe I'll have to be faced with a parade of problems for a year. But I must remain faithful to my perfect omnipresent self. This world of concepts cannot intimidate us any longer. Concepts of matter and material conditions have power only over the mind that accepts them. More questions. If your life is mortal, are you the omnipresent self? Then which are you, mortal or immortal? And your answer must be, I am immortal. If your life is immortal, when did it begin? And your answer must be, the immortal life of omnipresent self has no beginning. It is eternal. It always was. It always will be, because my life is the eternal now. Question: what is present beside your life? Answer: I am omnipresent self, the only life. There is no life in the universe beside my life. Omnipresent life never dies. Death is the illusion of negative energy. Question: if you are omnipresent life, are your qualities living now? Answer: yes. Peace is always present where war appears. Love is always present where hate appears. All perfect divine qualities of omnipresent self are always present and functioning, independent of the negative energy we entertain in the human mind. It should be understood that Christ is not a healing light, but a revealing light. Christ reveals the universe of soul energy, radiant and vibrant all around us, obscured to human senses by the negative energy of the human mind. The perfect soul energy is as normal in the invisible spiritual universe as the concept of air is normal in the material world around us. In fact, air is our own limited concept about a divine life-maintaining quality which is contained within soul energy. At this moment, soul energy is all around us waiting to be accepted. When Christ says to the cripple, "What did hinder thee?" He's actually saying, all that is here is living, dynamic soul energy. All that is preventing you from enjoying this radiant life is your own false negative mental energy, which persuades you that you're entombed in a crippled physical body. You are not in that body. Pick up your concept, raise your consciousness, and walk in your real body of divine soul energy as the omnipresent self. That's your work from now to Christmas. I'll be working with you. These are my assignments too. And as we move toward this goal of soul energy realized, you will find moments when the excitement is more than you can bear, because much of it is out of the body experience. And this, of course, opens you to the undreamed of possibilities which somehow latently you knew always existed.
that your fidelity will be rewarding beyond measure. And there is a growing conviction, particularly because of some of the recent correspondence, some of the telephone conversations. Well, someone said, let's say, we're so close to walking on the water. I suppose that's one way to say it. Another way might be that, when will I realize that I already am walking on water? But this is one of the beautiful things of our work together, that all of us are experiencing different things. There's no one prototype or stereotype, and we all travel in the same groove. Some of the things I am told within, and some of the things you are told within, are so beautiful and so spiritually encouraging that I can truly feel the hand of guidance in our work. Your next tape will come from the island of Catalina around Christmas time. We'll be leaving there for Catalina within a few days. In fact, by the time this tape reaches you, Betty and I should be in Catalina for another adventure, and I'm quite sure that this indicates a further deepening of the work which we can all share. You are very precious in this work, and never forget it. We are all holding hands, moving together in a beautiful adventure. Have a good turkey. We shall soon be talking again. Much love.